دعا فرمائے اللہ حضرت کی عمر مبارکت نصیب فرمائے. بیمار تھے پچھلے 3 دن سے, اس کے باوجود سفر کی صعوبت برداشت کرتے ہوئے تشریف لائے. یہ ہمارے لیے بہت بڑی سعادت مندی کی بات ہے. اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ کا جتنا بھی شکر ادا کرے اتنا کم ہے. ایسے اہل دل حضرات کے قدم ہماری جگہوں میں پڑتے رہیں تو اس کی برکتیں ہوتی ہیں, اس کی رحمتیں ہوتی ہیں. اور یہ چیزیں ایسی ہیں کہ جو دلی کیفیت سے متعلق ہے اس کو زبان سے تعبیر نہیں کیا جا سکتا. دل کو دل سے راہ ہوتی ہے, ہمارا محاورہ ہے وہ بات ہے کہ جب ایسی جگہوں پر اللہ والوں کے قدم پڑتے ہیں, رحمتیں برکتیں نازل ہوتی ہیں. بہر کیف میں خود بھی پچھلے 3-4 دن سے, میرے مصلی حضرات جانتے ہیں, میری طبیعت خراب ہونے کی وجہ سے اپنا تفسیر کا درس بھی موقوف رہا تھا. ایک مرتبہ گلا بھی میرا بیٹھا ہوا تھا, اس لیے میں نے یہ کہا کہ دعو فدیق والمدیف, مدیف بھی کمزور ہے اور درد بھی کمزور ہے اور دونوں ہی آپ کی دعاؤں کے محتاج ہیں. دعا فرمائیں, اللہ قبول فرمائے حضرت کی آمد کو اور بار بار ایسے موقع میں نصیب فرمائے کہ وہ تشریف لاتے رہیں اور ہم ان سے استفادہ کرتے رہیں, ہم ان کی زیارت کرتے رہیں, ملاقات کرتے رہیں اور ان کی تعلیمات پر, ان کے ارشادات پر ہم عمل کرتے رہیں. جزاکم اللہ تعالیٰ نصیب داریں.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد للہ نحمده ونستعینه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوکل علیه ونعوذ باللہ من شرور انفسنا ومن سیئات اعمالنا, من یهده اللہ فلا مضل له ومن یضلله فلا هادی له, ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له, ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد, فبالسند المتصل منا إلى عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنه وعنهم قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن, ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء. رواه أبو داود والترمذي. وبسند المتصل منا إلى أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل البخاري رحمه الله تعالى وحشرنا في زمرته ومحبيه, قال باب قول الله ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة, وأن أعمال بني آدم وقولهم يوزن. وقال مجاهد, القسطاس العدل بالرومية, ويقال القسط مصدر المقسط وهو العادل, وأما القاسط فهو الجائر. وبه قال حدثنا أحمد بن أشكاب قال حدثنا محمد بن فضيل عن أمارة بن القعقاء عن أبي زرعة عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه وعنهم قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, كلمتان حبيبتان إلى الرحمن, خفيفتان على اللسان, ثقيلتان في الميزان, سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. الله سبحانه وتعالى through His infinite mercy, grace and kindness granted the Talibat, the students, who are completing the Sahihul Bukhari today, and their teachers, the lecturers of the books of Ahadith that were taught during the year, a great honor by giving them the opportunity to learn and teach Ahadith. Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala, who is the teacher of teachers of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, a very great luminary in the field of ilm-e-nubuwwat and especially the ilm of hadith, Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, ma a'lamu shay'an afdhala min talab al hadith liman arada Allah azza wa jal. For those people who seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for those people who seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are many amal a person can seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through salat, through zakat, through sawm, through tilawat, through tasbih, through tahleel, through tahmeed, through takbir, through prostration, through umrah, through hajj, and there are certain things which are compulsory, which are fard and wajib, so we have no choice. Whether they are more virtuous or less virtuous, we have no choice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it compulsory and obligatory upon us. So we carry them out. And there are other things which are not obligatory, which are not compulsory, which are optional. But we still carry them out. To acquire the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala is not an insignificant personality. A great luminary. During his time, the muhaddithin were unanimous that he is Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith. He is the leader of the believers as far as the science of hadith is concerned. And if he is Amir al-Mu'mineen fil Hadith, he had come across and he had studied hundreds of thousands of ahadith. So he was aware of all the amal, he was aware of the virtues of all the amal. Despite that, he says that ma alamu shay'an afdhal min talab al hadith liman arada Allah azza wa jal. For that person who seeks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who seeks to acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have no knowledge of any amal which is more virtuous than talab al hadith. So the talab for hadith, talab for hadith, the want for hadith. One who becomes the seeker of hadith, and one who seeks hadith, the ilm of hadith, there is nothing more virtuous than this amal for that person who seeks the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ulama have stated that talabul hadith is so precious in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when a talib of hadith, the seeker of hadith, when he leaves his home to come to the madrasa, or the talib of hadith leaves her home to go into another vicinity, another locality, or he or she leaves his or her home to go into another city or even into another country only for talabul hadith. Ibn Mandah rahimahullah ta'ala was a great muhaddith, and the ulama are unanimous on this fact that as far as the quantity is concerned, the number of ahadith that Ibn Mandah rahimahullah ta'ala had acquired, no one in the past had acquired that number of quantity. Ibn Mandah rahimahullah ta'ala, he left his home for talabul hadith at the age of 20. So up until the age of 20, he acquired the ilm of hadith from the muhaddithin who were within the city where he was born, or around the city, the localities around where he was residing. And at the age of 20, when he felt that I have acquired everything that I needed to from the mashayikh here, he left his home. And he did not return until he was 65. He left his home at the age of 20 and he returned at the age of 65. And until the age of 65, he was going from one town to another, from one country to another, from one sheikh to another, and doing only one thing, acquiring hadith. He would sit in their company, the sheikh would dictate, and he would write the hadith. When he returned, after 45 years of talabul ilm, he was riding a camel, and behind him were 40 camels that were carrying the exercise books in which he had written the ahadith. So 40 camel load of ahadith he had acquired. Not even Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi acquired so many ahadith. As far as quantity is concerned, there is no one who can match Ibn Mandah rahimahullah ta'ala. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala himself acquired ahadith from 1080 shuyukh. From Bukhara to Makkah Mukarrama, from Makkah Mukarrama to Madinah Munawwara, from Madinah Munawwara to Baghdad, to Kufa, Naisabur. He went to every city where a muhaddith existed. And sometimes he went to a city or a country, he returned, and thereafter he came to know that there was another muhaddith that I have not visited, so he went again. He himself says that I myself cannot count how many times I went to Baghdad to acquire a hadith. Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, he acquired a hadith from 300 tabi'i and 600 taba tabi'i. 300 tabi'in and 600 taba tabi'in. 900 teachers. So the muhaddithin, mufassirin, muhaddithin, ulama, fuqaha, they exerted immense effort. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi was once asked a question by somebody, and the person said that you are unaware of. He gave the answer. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi gave the answer to the question. So Imam, the person asked that, what dalil do you have? What is your dalil? So Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi could not recollect the dalil at that precise moment. So this person then said that, I will meet you at this very place after 3 days. Keep the dalil ready for me. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi went into his home, and he did not come out of his home for 3 days. When he came out of his home for after 3 days, at the appointed time, his students say that he was a completely changed man as far as his physical appearance was concerned. When he looked at Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi, red eyes, swollen face, swollen body, he wasn't healthy, and it seemed as if he had been sick for a very long time. So we were worried that Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi was perfectly healthy 3 days ago. He went in his home, he did not come out for 3 days, and now we see him in this condition. As soon as he came out and he sat at the same place where he was sat 3 days ago, that questioner came. And he said, have you found the dalil? Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi said, yes, I have the dalil. I have the dalil to your answer. And he recited the verse from the Quran, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاعَتْ مَصِيرًا. The questioner was satisfied and he left. After he left, the students of Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi inquired as to what had happened to him. So Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi said that when I left the gathering 3 days ago, and when I went in the home, I started looking for the dalil. And I began reciting the Quran from Suratul Fatiha. And he said that I recited the whole Quran, but I could not find the dalil. So I began reciting the Quran again. I recited the Quran a second time, I could not find the dalil. My friends, without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are unable to understand anything. In our day-to-day activities also, sometimes a very simple thing we forget. Daily we go to work for the past 20 years, 25 years, same factory, same route, and suddenly we take a wrong turn. Suddenly we take a wrong turn. Not that we were busy with something, and we ourselves cannot answer as to how I did this. Without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot survive, my friends. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who looks after us. So Imam Shafi'i rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said that I recited the Quran a second time, I could not find the dalil. The dalil was there, but the faculty of intellect could not comprehend that dalil. So he recited the Quran a third time. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi says that in order to find the dalil, I recited the Quran 3 times on the first day, 3 times on the second day, 3 times on the third day. And this recitation was with tadabbur, with concentration on the meaning and the tafsir of the Quran. Then only you are able to find a dalil. So he said, because of lack of sleep, lack of food, and continually engaged in this activity, in this work, you are seeing my situation in the way you are seeing. 9 times a faqih recites the whole Quran in 3 days only to answer one question. So we owe a lot to the muhaddiseen, to the mufassireen, the fuqaha and the ulama of the ummah, my friends. When we sit on the tablecloth, on the dastarkhan to have food, it's very easy for us to enjoy the food. Sometimes there are 2 types of food, sometimes 5 types, sometimes 7, 8, 10, 20 types of food. And the women folk in the house, they toil, they work hard. Maybe for the past 24 hours they were busy. They wake up early in the morning at 4 o'clock if guests are invited for lunch, and they start preparing. We, the men folk, unless we ponder over their efforts, we will not realize their efforts. Unless we ponder over their toiling, we will not understand the toiling that they have to go through in order to bring comfort to us and our guests. And I am slightly moving away from the topic, but I would urge all of you to feel a sense of gratefulness towards the women who cook for us and who feed us and who make the environment of our home very, very comfortable for us, who look after our children, who bring our children up. Be grateful to them, and you will not lose anything by saying Jazakumullah to them. You will not lose anything by verbally appreciating their efforts. Dr. Abdullahi Arifi rahimahullah ta'ala, the Sheikh of Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani, hafizahullah ta'ala, he says that once I was invited by a spiritual student of mine, and after the food, I started praising the food. I said, Alhamdulillah, the rice were very tasty and the curry was very tasty as well. It is the right of the person who cooks for us that we praise and we give compliments. Be it someone else or our wife. So through the husband, Dr. Abdullahi Arifi Rahmatullah Ali was sending the message to the wife. So he was saying, Mashallah, this was very tasty, this was well cooked also, Alhamdulillah, it was very satisfying. So that the husband afterward could relate to the wife and say that Mashallah, Hazrat was very happy today. And the women folk like to know whether the guests enjoyed the food or not. And the women folk, it is human nature. If we give somebody something as a gift, we look at the facial expression as to whether he is pleased with the gift or not. Whether it is the wife, whether they are children, or whether father, mother, or whether strangers. So Dr. Abdullahi Arifi rahimahullah ta'ala started praising the food. And whilst praising the food, Dr. Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala realized that in the room adjacent to where they were sitting, somebody was sobbing and crying. He overheard somebody sobbing, crying. Hazrat left. He was a doctor, homeopathic doctor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him expertise in both physical illnesses and spiritual illnesses. So after a few weeks or months, the wife of the person who had invited Hazrat became unwell. So she came to see Hazrat in the surgery, obviously with hijab. And Hazrat recognized her. Very close family to Hazrat. So Hazrat recognized her, even though she was in her hijab. So Hazrat said that before, I see you regarding the illness you have come for. Please tell me what pain you are experiencing in your home, in your household. So she said, I am not experiencing any pain, Hazrat. So, no, you are. No, there is no pain. But the other day when I came to your house, I heard you sobbing in the room adjacent to where you were sitting. So something is bothering you. So she said, no, Hazrat. Actually, the fact of the matter is that I have been married to my husband for so many years. And I have been serving my husband and my in-laws and their guests just as I served you on that day. and my ears were thirsty for someone to say at least a one kind sentence to me that alhamdulillah the cooking was so good. And after many years, when my ears heard you praising my food, I began crying out of happiness. I was overwhelmed. So this is the right, my friends. This is the rights of ladies. The point that I was trying to make by giving the example of cooking is that we do not realize they are toiling and unless we ponder over it. Daily we have food, we enjoy food, but we don't ponder over it. Similarly, unless we ponder over the efforts of the muhaddiseen and the mufassireen and the ulama and the environment in their time, how difficult it was to travel from one city to another city, one country to another country, where the paths were full of hazards and dangers. Despite that, they would travel only to acquire a single hadith, to preserve that hadith and to pass on that hadith to the ummah that was to come in future. We can never repay them. We can never repay them. The mufassirin, the huffaz preserve the words of the Quran. The qurra preserve the pronunciation of the Quran. And the mufassirin preserve the tafsir of the Quran. And the foundation of the Quran is the ahadith. The muhaddisin preserve the words of the Quran. And the fuqaha, keeping everything in mind, deduced the method of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. So without turning to any hadith, any Quran, without trying to figure out what Allah wants me to do in this situation, we simply go to a mufti or an alim and the mufti will say, you do this, you don't do this. This is permissible, this is not permissible. You have made a mistake, you make tawbah, you give kafara, you make qaza. So it's like all these ingredients were preserved and the fuqaha have prepared every dish that the ummah was to require until the day of Qiyamah in any situation. And all we do now is that imagine this situation where we would have had to go through all these ahadiths and the whole Quran to find solutions on a daily basis. But no. So my friends, we need to keep this in mind that we are indebted to the ulama, we are indebted to the fuqaha, we are indebted to the mufassirin, we are indebted to the muhaddisin. And till today, the ulama strive. It's not simple to teach Bukhari Sharif. To give one lesson of Bukhari Sharif, the teacher has to at least take out 1.5 to 2 hours and study. 1.5 to 2 hours. Study daily, he has to take out. He has to religiously take out that time, dedicate himself. So the travels of the muhaddisin are known as rahalat. So the ulama have stated that as a result of the rahalat of the muhaddisin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves away the punishment that was to befall the people of living on the surface of this earth. The rahalat are so precious in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine the actual transmission of the hadith and the actual learning of the hadith, how precious it must be. That only the rahalat, the muhaddis or the talib, when he travels towards acquiring a hadith, that rahla is so important and so precious in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this rahla repels the punishment that is to befall the ummah. So these young girls who are graduating today are very, very fortunate. And the ulama and the alimat who are teaching ahadith are also very, very fortunate. And I would like to urge both parties, the masses the brothers and the sisters who have come today to participate in this program, that instill and embed this value of hadith, value of Quran, value of ilm and nubuwwat, and as a result value of ulama, and give them due respect. And I would like to urge the talibat and the talibin ilm and the people of ilm to embed the virtue of ilm and nubuwwat, which they are fully aware of, and realize their own worth. Realize their own worth and never become the victim of inferiority complex. The ulama should never become the victims of inferiority complex. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the greatest ni'mat, Quran and Hadith, the ilm of the Quran and the Hadith, Allah has granted us that ni'mat which no ni'mat can match. No ni'mat can match. Factory, shop, becoming a prime minister, becoming a president of a country, becoming a ruler and the king of a country, becoming very wealthy. Nothing can match this ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted us. Why should we ever become the victim of inferiority complex? Why should we feel that I am small? Why should we feel that I am insignificant? Why should we feel that I don't have that which he has? I don't have that which she has. Why should we feel that way? Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, رَضِينَا قِسْمَةَ الْجَبَّارِ فِينَا لَنَا عِلْمٌ وَلِلْجُهَالِ مَالُ فَإِنَّ الْمَالَ يَفْنَى عَنْ قَرِيبٍ وَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ بَاكٍ لَا يَزَالُ. Ali radiyallahu anhu is our ancestor, especially for the people of ilm. Abu Bakr Siddiq was our ancestor, Ali radiyallahu anhu was our ancestor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted them immense wealth, but not immense ilm, but not too much wealth. This is the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is fair with everybody. So he may give something to me and deprive you, and he may give you something and deprive me. So Ali radiyallahu ta'ala says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distributed ilm and wealth. To some he has given ilm, to others he has given wealth. So he says that رَذِينَا قِسْمَةَ الْجَبَّارِ فِينَا. We are happy with the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَنَا عِلْمٌ. He has given us ilm. وَلِلْجُهَالِ مَالُ. Juhal means those without ilm. So he has given us ilm, not wealth, but he has given other people wealth but not ilm. We are happy with this distribution. And my friends, if we look very carefully, then we will find that those people who are very, very wealthy, who are very well off, they are always in need of the ulama. On a day-to-day basis, they are in need of the ulama. Is my salat correct or incorrect? I made this mistake today in salat. I have to phone Mufti Sahib and ask him. I have to meet the Imam Sahib and ask him. Every week, if not every week, every month, if not every month, then at least somewhere along the year, we will have to refer to the ulama. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the wealthy people so less knowledge that they are in need of the ulama. But as far as the ulama are concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them immense ilm and enough wealth whereby they do not have to stretch their hand out in front of the wealthy people. Lana ilmun, we have ilm. We have ilm. Ali radiyallahu anhu says, we have ilm. We have ilm and enough wealth to get by. But as far as the wealthy people are concerned, Allah has given them immense wealth but not enough ilm to get by. So the ulama are independent. Ulama have enough wealth and immense ilm. And as far as the awam are concerned, the laymen are concerned, the non-ulama are concerned, they may have lot of wealth, but not enough ilm whereby they are not in need of ulama. Majority of the people, if ulama and huffaz do not exist, will find it difficult to even bathe the deceased and shroud the deceased and bury the deceased. These madaris, whether with boarding, without boarding, part-time, full-time, Darul Ulooms or Makatib where only basic elementary education is given, my friends, they are great blessings for the Muslims. Not only for the Muslims, they are great blessings for the whole of humanity. But great blessings for the Muslims. Without these Makatib and without these Madaris, we would find it difficult to perform Taraweeh in the month of Ramadan where the Quran is completed. Because it is these madaris and these makatib that produce the ulama. Without these makatib and madaris, we would find it difficult to find people to solve our queries, to solve our problems. But we find an alim here and there, even during the Hajj, we find an alim here and there, mufti here and there, and we feel so comfortable during the Hajj that alhamdulillah, in our group there is a maulana. All the world is relieved. Alhamdulillah, in the tent that we have a Mawlana. And when we return also, we mention this to people that alhamdulillah, Hajj was very easy because there was a very nice Mawlana from Pakistan in our group. There was a very good Alim from India in our group. From Bolton, there was a Mawlana in our group and it made things so easy for us. If we had practiced Deen, in our day-to-day lives, we would have appreciated Mawlanas even more. Because we would have referred to them more. And they would have solved our problems more. So value ilm, value ulama, value those who are seeking ilm, value those who are teaching ilm. And we need not only to send our children to the madaris, we are also in need of the ulama. Let us listen to their lectures. Let us participate in the durus of the Quran, durus of the Hadith. And wherever we have a question mark as far as deen is concerned, let us ask the ulama. So these young girls who are graduating today, very fortunate. These ulama who are teaching ahadith, very fortunate. Very fortunate. They belong to that group, the leader of whom is none other than our beloved Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the group of the ulama, the group of the ulama belong to that group, the leader of whom is none other than our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Nasr al-Waiz rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says that I saw a dream. And in that dream, I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with some companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, going to visit Muhammad ibn Sulaiman as-Saluki rahimahullahu ta'ala. Muhammad ibn Sulaiman as-Saluki rahimahullahu ta'ala was the Sayyidul Muhaddisin of that time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to preserve ahadith, grants abilities and the tawfiq to individuals who will preserve this deen until the day of Qiyamah. So Muhammad ibn Sulaiman as-Saluki rahimahullah ta'ala was the great muhaddith of that time. And he became ill. In real life he was ill. And during his illness, Abu Nasr al-Wa'iz rahimahullah ta'ala, who was his student, he sees a dream in which he sees Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in going towards the house of Muhammad ibn Sulaiman as-Saluki rahimahullah ta'ala to visit him. Abu Nasr al-Waiz rahimahullah ta'ala says that in the dream I thought to myself that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come especially to meet Muhammad ibn Sulaiman As-Saluki rahimahullah ta'ala, our teacher. A great moment. Let me also enter the house with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to see how the meeting will go. So he said, with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the sahaba, I also entered the house. This is a dream, in the dream. He said, everybody took their places. Muhammad ibn Sulaiman As-Saluki rahimahullah ta'ala welcomed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked him how he was feeling, and everybody took their place, sat down. I also sat in the gathering. And he said, when my gaze fell on my teacher Muhammad ibn Sulaiman As-Saluki rahimahullah ta'ala, I began thinking in my heart and mind that if this man was to pass away as a result of this illness, what will happen to the ummah? We all feel that way. We all feel that way. When we have a very nice imam, then we sometimes feel, if he is unwell, that what will happen to our community, our masjid, if he was to pass away? Huh? When we are associated to a sheikh or a muhaddis or a mufassir from whom we continually benefit, we feel that way, that what will happen to us, what will happen to the ummah? So Abu Nasr al-Waiz rahimahullah ta'ala says that I began thinking, whilst my gazes were on Muhammad ibn Sulaiman as-Saluki, that if this man was to pass away, this great muhaddis, what will happen to the ummah? What will happen to the science of hadith? So Abu Nasr al-Waiz rahmatullah alayhi says that these thoughts were going through my mind, and suddenly I heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, "Oh Abu Nasr." So he said, I looked at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "La tufakkir fi dhalik." Do not worry about this issue. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "La tufakkir fi dhalik." Don't worry about this issue. And what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam say in a hadith? "Man ra'ani fil manami fa innahu ra'ani." One who sees me in a dream, then he has actually seen me. فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَا يَتَمَثَّلُ بِي. Because shaitan cannot impersonate me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Oh Abu Nasr, don't worry about this issue, that what will happen if Muhammad ibn Sulaiman was to pass away." And thereafter he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَا يُضَيِّعُ إِصَابَةً أَنَا سَيِّدُهَا. He said that I am the chief and the leader of this group of muhaddisin and ulama. And the group of which I am the chief and I am the leader, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never let that group go to waste. It will remain until the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. So my talibat, my very dear talibat, and many talibin ilm, and my young friends, my colleagues who have come here today in this gathering, mashallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the opportunity to see many such beautiful and happy days in this institute, and inshallah next year in the main masjid, hopefully. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the task very easy. Let us value our position in the eyes of Allah subhanahu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has elevated us, the people of ilm. And let us be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to practice on what we know. We need to practice on what we know. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala used to say, "Laysa talabul hadithi haddasana fulanun an fulanin." He used to say that seeking the ilm of hadith is not just reading books where you say, "Haddasana fulanun qala, haddasana fulanun qala, haddasana fulanun qala, haddasana fulanun." He said that is not in reality the seeking of ilm hadith. So what is in reality the seeking of ilm hadith? What is seeking of ilm hadith in its true sense? He said, "Wa innama talabul hadithi." وَإِنَّمَا تَلَبُ الْحَدِيثِ الْخَشِيَّةُ لِلَّهِ. He said that in reality, talabu al-hadith is khashiyat, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every alim, every alima, every student of deen should have this quality of khashiyah, which forces this alim or this alima or this talib-e-ilm or this talib-e-ilm to practice on whatever they are learning. As a result of this khashiyya, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, the great Imam, Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullahi alayhi, the great Imam, who had acquired not thousands of ahadith or hundreds of ahadith, hundreds of thousands of ahadith, were able to say, just before their demise, that alhamdulillah, I have not acquired a single hadith in my life which I have not practiced. What compelled them to practice on every hadith they had acquired? Khashiyya, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is this fear that brings maghfirat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is this fear which brings immense reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَيْبِ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ. It is this khashiyya that makes a person deserving of Jannah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ جَزَاؤُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه ذلك لمن خشي ربه. It is the result of خشية. And Sufyan ibn Uyayna رحمه الله تعالى used to say, ليس العالم الذي يعرف الخير والشر. That person is not an alim or alima in its true sense, who acquires the ilm of خير and شر, حرام and حلال, jais and not jais, permissible and impermissible. That person is not an alim in its true sense. Who is an alim in its true sense? وَإِنَّمَا الْعَالِمُ الَّذِي. The true alim is, the real alim is, the perfect alim is, the complete alim is he. الَّذِي يَعْرِفُ الْخَيْرَ وَيَتَّبِعُهُ. Who recognizes khair and he follows that khair. وَيَعْرِفُ الشَّرَّ فَيَجْتَنِبُهُ. And who recognizes shar and who abstains from shar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. So this is the final bab of Bukhari Sharif and the final hadith of Bukhari Sharif. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala narrates here from his Shaykh Ahmad ibn Ashqab. Ahmad ibn Ashqab is Hadrami. And Hadrami means he was born in Hadramaut. So if a person is born in Makkah Mukarrama, he will be known as Makki. And someone who is born in Madina Munawwara, he will be known as Madani. So Ahmad ibn Ashqab is Hadrami. And Hadramaut is in Yemen. So Ahmad ibn Ashqab is Yemeni. And the Ansar of Madina Munawwara, their roots go back to Yemen as well. So the Ansar of Madina Munawwara were Yemeni. Ahmad ibn Ashqab is also Yemeni. And the very first hadith that Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi reports is from his teacher Humaydi. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi takes the first hadith from his Shaykh Humaydi. And he takes the last hadith from his Shaykh, whose name is Ahmad ibn Ashqab. Humaydi is Qurayshi and Makki. So Humaydi is Makki and Ahmad ibn Ashqab is Yemeni. And Ahmad ibn Ashqab is Yemeni. Ansar were also from Yemen, so they are Yemeni. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is indicating towards the fact that there were two centers of wahi. One is Makkah Mukarrama, the other is Madina Munawwara. So he began the hadith with a sheikh who is associated to Makkah Mukarrama, and he ends his book of hadith by taking the hadith from Ahmad ibn Ashqab, who is associated to Madina Munawwara through the Ansar. The name of the first sheikh is Humaydi and the name of the last sheikh is Ahmad, and both names are derived from the word Hamd. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is indicating that from beginning until the end, because the book is filled with the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, each and everything that this hadith contains is nothing but mahmood. That means praiseworthy. And as a result of this, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is encouraging us to practice each and every hadith, because every hadith that is in Bukhari Sharif is praiseworthy. So the person who practices these ahadith will also become praiseworthy in the eyes of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also in the eyes of the Creator. He will become praiseworthy in this world and also in the hereafter. And another point that Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is trying to refer to is the fact that Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi begins the book with hamd and he ends the book with hamd. So Imam Bukhari is indicating that a believer's life should be full of hamd. His life should be full of hamd. He should praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excessively. And he should carry out those acts as a result of which he is able to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He should engage always in good actions. And he should continually praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a result of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him entry into Jannah. And in Jannah he will say, "Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen." Imam Muhammad ibn Ashqab rahimahullah ta'ala narrates this hadith from Muhammad ibn Fudail. And Muhammad ibn Fudail narrates this hadith from Umara ibn Kaka, who in turn narrates from his Sheikh Abu Zura, who in turn narrates this hadith from his Sheikh Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The very first hadith Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi has reported is hadith innamal amalu bin niyyat. And that hadith is reported by Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi reports the very first hadith on the authority of Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi reports the last hadith on the authority of Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is regarded from those sahaba who were afqah, who were granted immense faqaha, immense deep understanding of the Quran and the ahadith and the sharia. So Umar radiyallahu anhu is min afqahi sahaba. And Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu is regarded from amongst those sahaba who were ahfadu sahaba, who had photographic memory, memory of a very high caliber. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is indicating to the students that in order to understand deen, in order to preserve deen, and in order to pass on deen, you need to have two things. One is hifz, powerful memory, and second is faqahat, deep understanding of the sharia. So every talibul ilm, before graduating and after graduating, because a talibul ilm remains a talibul ilm until he breathes his last. You will not come across any alim who will think that, "Oh, I am an alim. Who are you? I am an alim." No, he will always feel that I am a talibul ilm. Even when people will praise him and say, "Oh, you are a great muhaddis," he will say, "Alhamdulillah, make dua that Allah keep me talibul ilm until I breathe my last." Talibul ilm. Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala, who was mentioned a few moments ago, somebody said to him, "Dar o Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala, for how long will you remain a talibul ilm?" He said, "Ilal mamat, until I breathe my last." And Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi used to say, "Ma'al mi'barati ilal maqbarati." With this ink pot, I will go to the grave. That means I will continue seeking ilm until I breathe my last. So we, the talibin ilm, should continually beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should say to him that, "Oh Allah, grant me a very powerful memory. Grant me very powerful memory. Grant me very powerful memory. And oh Allah, grant me faqahat also. Allahumma faqihni fid deen. Allahumma faqihni fid deen." Continually. Even those who have a powerful memory, even those who have been granted faqahat, they should continually ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for faqahat. Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah ta'ala, the great muhaddis and the commentator of Bukhari Sharif, he says that when I went to Makkah Mukarrama, I was aware that the dua that is made when drinking zamzam is readily accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said that a great alim had passed before me, whose name was Allama Zahabi rahimahullahu ta'ala. And Allama Zahabi rahmatullahi alayhi even today is very well known for his memory. And he was very well known for his memory even during the time of Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi. So he said, when I drank from the water of Zamzam, what dua did I make? He said, I made this dua that, oh Allah, grant me the memory of Allama Zahabi rahmatullahi alayhi. And he says that when I look at my life after that dua, I can say that Allah has accepted my prayer. Allah accepted my prayer. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted me the memory of Allama Zahabi rahmatullahi alayhi. And he says that not the memory of Hafiz Zahabi, but slightly more. So talibin ilm should always, because these are resources for ilm, we should always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for good ulama, that oh Allah grant me the company of good ulama. Even after graduation, we are in need of seeking ilm until we breathe our last. Oh Allah, grant me the opportunity to benefit from luminaries, from great ulama. Oh Allah, grant me a very powerful memory, photographic memory. Oh Allah, grant me faqahat. Faqahat, the basirat, the far-sightedness, insight, and the deep understanding of ilm and deen. There are so many people who have been granted very good memory, but because they lack faqahat, through this very ilm, they are misled by shaitan and they mislead the ummah also. So we need both hafidha and faqaha, both. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant it to us. The second important point from this is that Umar radiyallahu anhu was a muhajir, and Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was also a muhajir. The point that Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is drawing our attention to is that for ilm, hijrat is necessary. Without hijrah, ilm is not possible. Nowadays we see people enrolling in courses, online courses. No hijrah. They remain in their houses and the alim and alima courses are being taught from Pakistan, from India, from elsewhere. There is no hijrah on their part. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows whether that student is attending daily or not. Because there is no one to supervise, there is no. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows in which condition this student is studying, what type of clothes he is wearing, whether he is doing both at the same time, having breakfast and studying. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows whether he has full adab or not. We are passing through times where, as far as deen is concerned, every aspect is degenerating. It is very difficult to keep adab amongst all the students in front of the teacher. So how is it possible for a student on his own to maintain adab when he is listening over the internet? Hijrat is necessary. Look at all the sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajmain, they made hijrah. All the tabi'in, they made hijrah. Taba tabi'in, hijrah. In this day and age, hijrah. Hijrah. People go from one country to another country. People go from one town to another town. And the least hijrah is that a student leaves his or her home and go to the madrasa. This is the method of acquiring ilm, hijrah. Umar radiyallahu anhu was muhajir, Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu was muhajir, hijrah. Hijrah is necessary. Hijrah is necessary. When we study ilm, when a person studies medicine or when a person studies law, then you don't look for deeni or religious environment. Because you go into the classroom and you want the words and you want to understand the words. So in tib, in medicine, when you go to a class, whatever the environment of the classroom, who is sitting next to you, whether he is fasik, he is fajir, whatever his evil habits, bad habits, it will not have any effect on the ilm of medicine that you are acquiring. It will not have any effect on the ilm of architecture that you are acquiring, ilm of law that you are acquiring. But when it comes to ilm nubuwa, not only do you need a good teacher to explain to you the words of ilm, but you also need a pious environment so that your heart is nurtured spiritually also. So it is very, very important for the seekers of ilm to acquire ilm, number one, through authentic sources, and number two, whilst remaining in good environment. Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kalimatane habibatane ilar rahman. Sometimes the word kalima means word. So kalima is a word which means word. Kalimatun means word. And kalimatane means two words. But in the Arabic language, sometimes the word kalima is used to mean kalam. Kalam means a full sentence. Masaru kalimatin tayyibatin kashajaratin tayyibatin. So in the Quran, Allah says, kalimatin tayyibatin. Kalimai tayyiba. Now kalimai tayyiba is not only one word. It is la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So sometimes the word kalima is used to mean kalam. Here also Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is using the word kalima to mean kalam. So kalimatane, there are two sentences. Habibatane ilar rahmane, which are beloved to Rahmane Ta'ala. There are two sentences which are beloved to Rahmane Ta'ala. And if these two sentences are beloved to Rahmane Ta'ala, that means the person who associates himself to these two sentences will also become beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us make a resolution today that inshallah we will associate ourselves to these two sentences by starting to recite these two sentences 100 times on a daily basis. It will not take time. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. It won't take time. 100 times, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Later on, a person may increase it to 200 times, 300 times, 400 times, according to your ability. So there are two sentences which are beloved to Rahmane Ta'ala. The one who will associate himself with these two sentences will also become beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kalimatane habibatane ila rahman khafifatane ala lisan. Very light on the tongue. Both of them are light on the tongue. It doesn't take long. It's not difficult. The letters used are very easy as well. Not difficult letters like wad or ha or kha or qaf. Very simple. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Very simple on the tongue. If you ask the qurra, they will say that yes, it's very, very light. Very simple. As far as makharij is concerned, sifat is concerned. So there are two sentences which are beloved to Rahmane Ta'ala. Light on the tongue, heavy in the scale. Saqilatan fil mizan. What are they? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, those of us who know the Arabic language, this is a sentence, jumla ismiya khabariya. And in jumla ismiya khabariya, mubtada comes first and khabar after. And mubtada is Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. So the tartib and the order should have been Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim, kalimatane, habibatane, ilar rahmane, khafifatane, alal lisane, saqilatane fil mizan. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim are two sentences which are beloved to Rahmane Ta'ala, light on the tongue and heavy in the scale. This should have been the tartib. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was example for everybody. So he was an example for the teachers also. So when the teachers very carefully study the ahadith and try to understand the methodology of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, they will not need any teacher training. There was no teacher training during the time of our Mashaykh and Akabir. And the reason was that they studied the ahadith very carefully. And from that they learned how to become a muallim. In this day and age, we get complaints here and there that he is a young alim, he has just graduated and we have appointed him and he is making so many mistakes. So, the request to the principal of the madrasa is that please give them teacher training course also after 6 months. And the reason for that is that such students do not study the ahadith carefully. If they had studied the ahadith carefully, they would have found everything in the ahadith. Now, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was aware that if I started by saying Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallahil Azim kalimatan habibatan, in a gathering when a person is quiet and he begins his statement, normally what happens is that a percentage of that gathering cannot catch the first one or two sentences. So if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallahil Azim kalimatane habibatane, 10% of the people would have woke up from their slumber when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had reached kalimatane habibatane ila rahman. So they wouldn't have known what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first said kalimatane. So 70-80% are ready. Then he said habibatane ila rahman. Those who are in slumber would also wake up. And then he said, Khafifatane alal lisan. And then he said, Saqilatane fil mizan. By the time he reaches Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallah al-Azim, which was the purpose of this full hadith, everybody is fully alert and awake. This is number one. Number two, when interest is created into somebody, if I want to sell a product and if I say that I want to sell this for £10, no interest. But if I say that I have something which is very, very precious and which is very, very beneficial, it's beneficial for your health, it's beneficial for your children's health, and it's very cheap as well, there is a special offer, and then I say £10. So everybody has interest. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a teacher. So he would create interest amongst the talaba, amongst the sahaba. So he said, kalimatane, there are two sentences, habibatane ila rahman, beloved to Rahmane ta'ala, khafifatane ala lisan, easy on the tongue, light on the tongue, saqilatane fil mizan, very heavy in mizan. Now each and every student is ready to absorb the lesson. Thereafter he says, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi subhanallahil azim. Each and every student will memorize it. This was the style of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the ulama have also said that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there are two sentences which are beloved to Rahmane ta'ala, then something that is beloved to Rahmane ta'ala and as a result of which you also become beloved, it must be something difficult. Without carrying out something difficult, you cannot become beloved to Allah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is answering this question that will arise in the mind. That there are two sentences which are beloved to Rahmane ta'ala. The question that will arise is that if it is beloved to Allah ta'ala and if I can become beloved through them, then these two sentences must be very, very difficult. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answers by saying khafifatane alal lisan, light on the tongue. Now the question will arise that if something is light on the tongue, that means something is easy. And when you carry out something which is easy, it is not very rewarding. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answers that question and he says, Saqilatane fil mizan. No heavy in the mizan. And what are they? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallah al-Azim. We are coming to the last part of the hadith and the last part of the lecture now. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallah al-Azim. The first sentence, Subhanallah. What is the meaning of Subhanallah? Usabbihu Allah ta'ala anin naqaisi kulliha. Wa bihamdihi. there are three possibilities and three ihtimalat as far as waw is concerned. One ihtimal is that waw is istinafia. That means a new sentence is starting from here. So وَبِحَمْدِهِ means وَأُسْنِي عَلَى اللَّهِ بِحَمْدِهِ أي وَأُسْنِي عَلَى اللَّهِ بِالْمَحَامِدِ كُلِّهَا. So when we say Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, it means أُسَبِّحُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى عَنِ النَّقَائِسِ كُلِّهَا وَأُسْنِي عَلَيْهِ بِالْمَحَامِدِ كُلِّهَا. What is the meaning of Subhanallah? The meaning of Subhanallah in the Arabic language is أُسَبِّحُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى عَنِ النَّقَائِسِ كُلِّهَا. In English we will say that I declare that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is free from every fault. Free from every fault. He is pure. أُسَبِّحُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى عَنِ النَّقَائِسِ كُلِّهَا. He is pure from every fault. If you want to judge a person, judge the status of a person, any person, any being, you have to look at two things. How many faults he has and how many excellences he has. And you have to make it plus minus and come to a conclusion. Person A has three faults, three shortcomings, but he has five good qualities, five excellences. Person B has the same three faults, but he has six good qualities. So person B is better than person A. Person A has three faults and three good qualities. Person B has four faults and three good qualities. Person A is better than person B. So when we look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the eyes of the Quran and the Hadith and through the message of approximately 124,000 Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam, we come to this conclusion that as far as fault is concerned, zero. Allah is pure from every fault. So tasbih, when we make tasbih, in English we say, I am glorifying Allah. But that does not convey the message of tasbih. Tasbih means, I am making an announcement, I am making a declaration that my creator, who is Allah, is free from every fault. Free from every fault. Fine. You have person A who has no faults, but he has no excellency either. No excellences. And you have person B who does not have any fault, but he has one excellence. So this person B is better than person A. So you have to look at both. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from every fault, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is embodiment of every excellence. Embodiment of every excellence. If I praise my father and if I say that my father was not cruel, then this praise is not complete. My father wasn't cruel. So you may think that okay, your father was not cruel, but neither was he kind, because you're not saying that my father was very kind. So praise will become complete when you say, my father was not cruel, he was very kind. My friend is not stingy, he is very generous. My friend is not a coward, he is very brave. So if we say Subhanallah, I declare that Allah is free from every fault, it is not sufficient. Therefore we have to say وَبِحَمْدِهِ as well. وَأُسْنِي عَلَيْهِ بِالْمَحَامِدِ كُلِّهَا. I praise him with all the excellences. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free of every fault, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an embodiment of all excellences. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. And my friends, because we say this Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, Allah becomes very happy. Allah becomes very happy. In the whole creation or whole universe, there is only one being There is only one being who is worthy to expect his own praise. Even a Nabi is not worthy of expecting his own praise. There is only one being who is worthy of expecting praise, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because whatever excellences he has, they are not given to him by somebody. A Nabi is also complete, but all the excellences he has been given to him by somebody. As far as Allah is concerned, all the excellences that he has been granted, has not been granted to him by anybody. It is for this reason Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that nobody in the universe becomes more happy when he is praised than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he is praised. So let us praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as we can with the kalimah tayyiba, with the third kalima, with the fourth kalima, with subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallah al-azim. So subhanallah wa bihamdihi usabbihu Allah ta'ala anin naqaisi kulliha wa usni alayhi bil mahamidi kulliha. And the second sentence is subhanallah al-azim usabbihu Allah ta'ala anin naqaisi kulliha ala hasabi azamati sha'nihi. That I declare that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure from every fault according to His greatness. So this Maulana is free from all faults. This Maulana is free from all faults according to his status. This Maulana is greater, luminary. So he is from all faults according to his status, greater status. And then we go to a Sahabi and we say, this Sahabi is free from faults, greater status. And then we say, this Nabi is free from all faults according to his status. So I declare that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all faults, not like a Maulana, not like a luminary, not like a Sahabi, not like a Nabi. Allah hasabi azamati shanihi, according to his greatness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all to appreciate and learn the hadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the efforts of the students of this madrasa, accept the efforts of the teachers, accept the efforts of the management. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all, the ulama and the non-ulama, to acquire ilm through authentic, reliable sources. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to follow the deen in the light of the teachings of the Salafus Salihin. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us from our whims and desires, even when interpreting the Quran and the Ahadith. Let us firmly hold fast to the Salafus Salihin, the manhaj of our Akabir, our Mashaykh, and our Salafus Salihin, so that we may ultimately reach that destination which they have reached. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين. ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك. اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم اجعل وساوس قلوبنا خشيتك وذكرك واجعل همتنا وهوانا فيما تحب وترضى. اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين ومن المتطهرين ومن عبادك الصالحين ومن أوليائك المقربين الصديقين ومن العلماء الربانيين ومن خدام دينك وأشاقك وأشاق حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع. يا عليم علمنا ما لم نكن نعلم يا عليم. رب زدني علما، رب زدني علما، رب زدني علما. اللهم إنا نسألك الرضا بالقضاء وبرد العيش بعد الموت ولذة النظر إلى وجهك والشوق إلى لقائك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من ضراء مضرة ومن فتنة مضلة. اللهم إنا نسألك من فضلك العظيم. اللهم افتح لنا أبواب رحمتك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. اللهم إنا نسألك في سفرنا هذا البر والتقوى ومن العمل ما ترضى. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. آمين.